Let's pray. God of grace and love, thank you today for your word, these wonderful stories of surprise and miracles. Help us today to learn the things you want us to know. Teach us and show us those things that you want us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. A few years ago, some of you may remember there was a small movie called Raiders of the Lost Ark. Some people may have heard of it, and there was a young man named Harrison Ford who starred as the swashbuckling archaeologist, Indiana Jones. Now, the whole premise of this movie was quite simple. You see, the nefarious Nazis had found the location of the Lost Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, where the Ten Commandments was kept. And the whole premise was, the story was, you can't let that Ark get into the hands of the Nazis, because any army that has the Ark will be, you won't be able to defeat. I could not get that word out. You won't be able to conquer the army if you have the Ark. So it's a race to the thing, and you know the whole story, the face melts and all that. One of the things that's fascinating, and I think it will be shocking to you guys to realize, that the theology behind that particular movie premise, completely wrong. Absolutely false. 1 Samuel talks about the Ark. And you see, the leaders of Israel were in a battle with the Philistines, and they weren't doing very well. Because Samuel had told them they shouldn't really be doing this battle, but they wanted to do battle with the Philistines, and they wanted to conquer them. So after a bad day of battle, they got the bright idea, what if we bring the Ark to the battle? We can never lose if we bring the Ark to the battle. If we get God into our fight, we cannot lose. Guess what? They lost. Not only did they lose the battle that day to the Philistines, they lost the Ark completely. It was captured, taken away. That wasn't enough for the elders of Israel. So they went to Samuel the prophet and they said, Samuel, that didn't work out too well for us with the old Ark thing. But here's what we got to do. We got to have a king. Because all the nations around us have a king and we want to be like them. We want to have a king like them. Now here's what they were thinking. You see, in the other cultures around them, the king would be the one who would tell God, this is the battle we need to fight. And from the elders' perspective, it was the king who was able to manipulate God and get God to fight that country's battles. See, they had messed up. They thought it was the Ark, that they could manipulate God with the Ark. But then they said, nope, we messed that up. It needs to be a king. So the king can then manipulate God with whatever we need. Samuel said, no, you don't want a king. We want to deal directly with God. And they said, yes, we want a king. Samuel said, no, because if you have a king, guess what's going to happen? He's going to draft your young men, your young women. You're going to go into service to the king. Then the king's going to tax you. You're going to have to pay taxes to the king. Then the king's going to take your land because he needs to make a highway. And they said, we don't care. We like the way the world works. We like that. It makes sense to us to have a king. The rest of them have a king. And guess what? Their kings can manipulate God and get God to do for them what they want. So, Samuel said, or God told Samuel, give them a king. Let them have what they want. Now, the United Kingdom lasted exactly 2 generations. It didn't work out so well for them. They had a civil war. They divided. It's a long story that has absolutely nothing to do with the passage we read today. So let's fast forward a little bit from that scenario. Yeah, a few centuries, millennia, to Jesus, out with his disciples, out teaching people. We got the miracles. We get that. Fed the 5,000. We've seen that. We understand what happened. But I want you to catch on a phrase that we don't talk about a lot on this particular passage. At the end, everyone was so amazed at what Jesus could do, they wanted to make him king. They wanted him to be a king. Because you know why? because the Roman boot was on their necks. They were a state that was controlled by the Romans, and they wanted to get rid of these controls. So what we want to do is get a new king that can lead us out. And they were going to make him a king by force because they wanted to manipulate the power that Jesus had for their own desires. But Jesus said no and went away. Because if you remember the kingdom of God that Jesus is preaching, it doesn't look like the other kingdoms. As a matter of fact, Jesus compared it to a bush, to a mustard plant. A mustard plant that grows wild all over the place, that pops up where you least expect it. That's the kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about. A kingdom of God that was filled with surprise, that didn't work according to the world's standards, the world's methods. It worked in a different way. These patterns, we all know them. It's the way of the world. It hasn't changed much. You may change the word from king to president or to prime minister or whatever, but we still have these governments. They want to draft our children into service. They want to do all of these things. They still want to tax us. April's coming. They still want to tax us. It's the same thing that's been going on for centuries. It's a pattern we all know and understand. But what Jesus was preaching was a different pattern. It was a completely different way of looking how God wants to intervene in history. Then we go to the next miracle that is brought up in this passage. Jesus walking on the water. Wow! Come on, wow! It is amazing, it's surprising. It's the middle of the night, these guys are rowing their boat, and they look out, and they're like, do you see that? Maybe the fish was bad. I'm hallucinating. No. He was walking on the water, but guess what they wanted him to do? They wanted him to get into the boat. Remember the last line? They said, come, we want you to get into the boat with us. They're missing the point. Jesus doesn't need a boat. Jesus has life outside our patterns, our standards. It's a new way of looking at life. He never got in the boat. He didn't get in the boat. He didn't want to be constrained by the patterns, the methods, the way of thinking of our world. He wanted it to be new. The possibilities are limitless when you look at life this way. When the grace of God is allowed to be what it can be, it will be like that mustard plant that grows wild. It's going to pop up and we can't even imagine where the next place is going to be. Jesus wants to usher in something completely different. And the people just want to keep putting him into the old patterns. Because when we put God into those old patterns, we learn that we can manipulate God, or at least we think we can. We're going to make God work for us like some kind of big cosmic vending machine, right? That's not the way God works. The kingdom of God that Jesus preached is about surprise. It's about love. It's about newness. All right. Many of you are probably old enough to know this fact, but I'm going to tell a story anyway. In track and field, there's a thing called a high jump. Now, when they first started doing the high jump, you had to stand still and jump over something. Then they decided that you could run. And so guys would do this run, and it was all guys back then, and it was run, and then they would kick one leg over like they were doing a hurdle, right? And then they would try to leap forward, like just sort of diving into a pool. And they could never get very high. Then in 1968, there's this guy named Dick Fosbury, Burry, B-U-R-Y. And he came at the high jump differently. He developed what was called the Fosbury flop. Because what he did was approach and then go backwards over the bar. It looks totally crazy. Because think about it. If you want to jump over something, you need to be facing it. No, he did it backwards and went over that way. People thought he was crazy until they realized that you had guys 5'8" jumping 7 feet in the air and clearing a bar. He broke the old patterns. He said, that is not the only way that you can do things. And he looked at the world through fresh, new eyes, and the world was surprised. You know, when you're driving down the road, if you look in your rearview mirror, the size of your image is very small. But when you look forward, you have a big windshield that's expansive. When we try to put God into a box, into a pattern, into things that we already know, when we try to manipulate God, we're squeezing him into that little rearview mirror. But if we let God be God, and instead of trying to make God be what we want, and let God be who God wants, we have a much bigger view. And the horizon is bigger, and the possibilities are limitless, because God is amazing and surprising. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.